WSBT-KBFI.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. You know, here we go. We are taking you into candidate country today and for the weeks ahead up to the election, where you will get a 50-minute program with opposing candidates live and in depth. Today we're talking with Democrat Steve Johnson and Republican Brian Domke, and they are on your November ballot for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. And just to be clear, all Bonner County residents get to vote whether you live in District 1 or not, but you're all going to be able to vote and see their names on the ballot for County Commissioner District 1. Everybody gets the same questions. The candidates get the same questions, and they are free to answer any way they want. They can do a little back and forth. In fact, I love it when they do that. And we do our best with the candidates to help keep the times pretty equal. All right, all that right after our first break, coming right now.
Selkirk's Ponderay Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. Hop on the spot stop nearest you. Hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. with 40 stops 7 days per week, serving Dover, Sandpoint, Kootenai, and Ponderay. The map, schedule, and live bus tracking is available at spotbus.org. They are following FTA cleaning guidelines, keeping spot passengers and drivers safe. Again, visit spotbus.org to see spot schedules, map, and bus tracker. Selkirk's Ponderay Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. See you on spot.
Ponderay Winery is celebrating another wonderful harvest, and we are so excited for this amazing vintage of wine made right here in Sandpoint. We continually work to keep our menu of delectable bites fresh and new. They're always made from scratch and seek to pair effortlessly with our award-winning wines. Come try October's Wine of the Month, our 2021 Syrah, with one of our signature pizzas, while viewing Brandon Puckett's artwork. We're located at 301 Cedar in downtown Sandpoint and open 12 to 8 Tuesday through Saturday. So join us for a friendly visit and a glass of wine at the Ponderay Winery.
Noble Days is here at North 40 Outfitters. Big savings on everything you need to stay warm this winter. Now through October 12th, earn a $20 North 40 gift card for every $100 spent on Noble Outfitters. Plus, grab a pair of Mutz Taskmasters for under $80, our most popular boots. North 40 Outfitters. Shop online at north40.com to find clothing and footwear that fits better and works harder during our Noble Day sale. North 40 Outfitters, outfitting work and play.
If it's been a while since you visited Grunberg's Lost Collector's Cabinet, you need to get in there. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg's Lost Collector's Cabinet.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
Call 800-838-8614. 800-838-8614. That's 800-838-8614.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
North Idaho's Radio 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. Listen, Brian Domke is with us today. Steve Johnson is on his way. He's running late. And so we are going to get him in the chair in front of the microphone as soon as he gets here. So let's turn our attention. Brian Domke, welcome to the program.
Barbara, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, let's just start with you introducing yourself to the audience.
Okay, wonderful. So I am Brian Domke, running for Bonner County Commissioner, District 1. Barbara, the reason I'm running is because I moved my family here over 10 years ago. We love this rugged landscape, and more importantly, we love the people and the culture. And because of that love that we have for this area, we chose to call it home. And as our home, I want to be sure that we can preserve and protect it into the future to maintain the integrity that it has for our children, grandchildren, and future generations. And I've been concerned about how the board has been operating for the past year and a half, and that was why I originally chose to run. And what I've been observing now for the last 2 weeks, with a little bit of a change on the board, is we're starting to see public comment welcomed back with each agenda item of the business meeting, and we're seeing more public participation. And I really encourage that to continue. And that's what I would like to see, that atmosphere where the public is welcomed and encouraged to come in to help to inform the board, to offer feedback so that the board can make well-informed decisions and offer better deliberation before they vote. My background in I grew up as a farm kid working on a couple of dairy farms and a horse ranch, and that was in the Finger Lakes of upstate New York, and I really enjoyed that lifestyle and upbringing. That's something that we have with our small family farm, our homestead, with our son and his upbringing, and I want to see that we preserve this rural community to allow that to continue into the future, as I said earlier. The reason I think I can offer that is I have a background of professional experience working as a project manager, and that experience included doing projects with public funding, especially for K-12 schools, colleges, and universities. And so we always engaged with the public as stakeholders for those projects, and we valued their input before making decisions and spending their money on projects. And so I have this background to interface with the public. I also, as a project manager, dealt with very complex projects, complex issues, as well as multi-million dollar budgets that are larger for a single project than what our county has for an annual budget. So I do understand the intricacies and complexities of large budgets as well. Plus coordination with federal, state, and local agencies is part of my background with that professional experience. And that's something else that the county commissioners need to be able to do in order to function properly as being the local lower level of government needing to interface with the higher levels. So combining all of those things along with my volunteer experience in the community for the past 10 years, I started off as a member of our search and rescue team for the county, wanted to make sure the public was safe in the great outdoors that we enjoy. I then transitioned and became a member of the Bonner County Natural Resource Committee to help with input on the natural resource policy that the county currently has, and then ultimately ended up chairing the Planning and Zoning Subarea Committee for Priest River Old Town, looking at land use policies and helping to offer feedback on how we could do a better job of thinking about how future development might happen in a very thoughtful and well-deliberated manner.
Thank you for that. You've answered one of my questions, your prime reason for seeking the office of county commissioner, and I heard to restore better communication and public input and a sense of calm in the meetings, and also fiscal responsibility, knowledge on how to run large budgets. So we're going to get into those in detail. When Steve gets here, but give us another reason that you're running, just to kind of keep focusing on what's another agenda item that you would like to promote as a county commissioner.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. One of the other things that keeps coming up is we have county staff that have been struggling to do their job well. When you do have a board that's not showing respect to the public, to one another, to county staff, it makes it hard for efficiency and effectiveness of the taxpayer dollars toward county staff and what roles they're trying to play to provide services to the citizens of our county. And so by creating an atmosphere within the entire county building in our county government of respect and decorum and professionalism, I hope that we're going to be able to see to encourage county staff to increase their involvedness. Involvement, let's say. Let's use a real word. But I want their involvement to branch out beyond their own departments and work toward collaboration, because as we do that, we're going to offer services that are more effective, and it's going to go back to cost. I mean, things always come back to cost at the end of the day. So as we collaborate and coordinate better, we should also be able to be more efficient, which should allow the tax dollars to go further with the services that the county provides.
Would you think this collaboration that you envision with county staff working together would include cross-training and some kind of an actual cross-training program?
I think that's possible. And of course, it would just come down to specialties of what the different departments are doing. One of the things that I've observed over the last year and a half going to the different business meetings that happens quite often is one department in the county will ask for budget approval to purchase something, lease something, whatever it might be. And then a county commissioner might ask, well, have you asked one of these other departments if you might be able to share that cost, share that piece of equipment? Mm-hmm. And it's not always possible, but I also hear very often that those conversations have not played out. And so I think silos have sort of been created over time, and people feel the need to kind of protect their
yes.
area. And I appreciate that, but at the same time, we're losing out on the opportunity as we work together. So I think if we can let people understand that we're not there to have a gotcha moment mm-hmm. and get people in trouble, we're there to work together for the greater good as a team. I hope that that kind of an atmosphere can be developed to the point where people are seeking opportunities to work together instead of avoiding them.
Yes. There is a territorial thing. I experienced it at the university, protective of your budget, spending your money on what you want to spend on and not necessarily in somebody else's area. But we worked against that also in a very large institution, county government. How many employees are at the county now?
Over 400.
So that's a big group of people to coordinate, work together, and to get them to collaborate.
Yeah. It is, absolutely.
Well, I'm going to go on to my next topic. Still waiting, ladies and gentlemen. The reason that Brian is doing all the talking right now is our other guest, Steve Johnson, is running late. And apparently he's on his way into the studio right now. And so when he gets here, we'll get him in on this conversation. But right now, we're talking to Brian Domke. Brian and Steve are both running. They're both opposing candidates on your ballot this fall for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. You get to vote for one, not both, and one will be the winner. All right. One of my notes here is about planning and zoning. That's really important to people for a variety of reasons. Give us your take on, as county commissioner, how do you see planning and zoning playing an important role, and what would you change or what would you maintain?
Great question. And I do believe it's a very important topic for our county right now. All of us have been experiencing the pressure of growth, and that puts a lot of burden on our county infrastructure. So roads and bridges, emergency services, all of those aspects, even things like solid waste. And so we need to consider, how do we thoughtfully plan for growth, knowing growth will occur, but how do we do it in a way that respects the residents that already live here and also is thoughtful about those who might be coming in the future? There is right now, a county has something called a comprehensive plan, mm-hmm. and that's essentially a roadmap, a very broad brushstroke for what we want future land use regulations to look like to dictate how and when and where things can be developed. And so the county is embarked on an update to that comprehensive plan. They've been working on it for over a year. They're getting close to proposing final changes. I appreciate all the efforts of the volunteers that are on the Planning Commission doing that work, as well as the community members who have been participating. That said, I believe that we can encourage further community involvement as a part of this process. One of the things I believe we could do is directly invite prior members of the sub-area committees for planning and zoning to be an advisory role on the board before final decisions are made. And what I would like to see is a very specific effort to analyze data on things like soil conditions, where do we have sensitive water bodies, where have we had spot zoning and have, say, for example, 5-acre parcels, a small subdivision pop up in the middle of an agricultural area that really wasn't appropriate.
Are you for that or against that? I mean, would you be, unless there's an overwhelming reason, would you be kind of opposed to those pop-ups?
I'm opposed to spot zoning. I'm opposed to having what is a unique and different land use in the middle of the context of an existing land use.
Right.
Again, there should be a very good reason for it, and we shouldn't be questioning and wondering if you go in and you make a request and they have a public hearing. We shouldn't really be unsure as to what the outcome is going to be, because we should be able to look at the code and look at the facts and say, we understand per the code that this property does or does not meet those requirements. But for the last few years, it's been very uncertain. And I don't think that uncertainty should exist. So we should clarify and update the code. And we should make improvements to the comprehensive plan, which is currently underway, to make it even better. So it's very clear. It's very understandable at layman's level, so that people don't have to wonder. One of the things that's really important to me is private property rights. And the way I like to describe it is, I do not have the right to cause you harm, to cause my neighbor harm. So I have a lot of rights as a property owner, but that means that I have to respect all of my neighbor's rights equally. And so I believe the Board of County Commissioners needs to encourage changes to the comprehensive plan, which will then inform our land use regulations and the county code. And then they have to apply that law equally to all applicants, both the person that wants to develop the property and all of their surrounding neighbors within that neighborhood, because everyone has the same private property rights.
You know, I really like the idea of, you know, according to code, according to the plan, people should be coming into these planning and zoning request situations kind of knowing what the outcome's going to be, unless there's some kind of overriding in public safety, I don't know, something that would give the planning and zoning and the commissioners and even the advisors to understand, yeah, well, that is an exception.
Yeah, there is exceptions at times. They should be very few. And we have a process for that even. We have variances. And then we also have another way to look at it, and conditional use permits. And so that should only come up, however, when the code hasn't addressed it. And somebody says, hey, I have an idea that's a little unique, and I'd like it to be considered. Mm-hmm. What I've been observing for the last year instead is we've had a number of instances where the conditional use permit has actually been used, in my opinion, as a way to change the zoning of a property, a parcel, for a different type of land use, such as, say, recreational or commercial. We already have those land use designations in our code.
Right.
And so if that's what somebody wants to do, they should be applying for a zone change, which is a different and, I believe, more rigorous process than a conditional use permit. And so we need to be sure that administratively and with a final decision that we are following the correct process, and that we're not shortchanging that process and allowing loopholes to happen.
You know, are you comfortable giving us an example? I mean, I can think of a few developments over the last year or so that got a lot of attention, a lot of controversy. But to tell you the truth, I'm not aware of whether that was just neighbors reacting, but that the developers were in the right. Can you give us an example of when there was this pop-up zone kind of change thing going on, and it really probably shouldn't have, are you covered that it probably shouldn't have been approved?
I'll offer my opinion, absolutely.
All right.
I'll be prepared for people to disagree, and that's okay. I'm willing to have the conversation.
Sure.
So
thank you.
The Kokolala, I'm sorry, I was thinking of another one. I'm going to switch. What I meant to say was the Sagal Bike Park.
Yeah.
That, 'cause that's the more recent one that's come up, that there was a lot of controversy. And I'm not for or against having a bike park, but I believe the wrong process was used. Because essentially, to create a business in that rural residential zoned area, in that existing rural neighborhood, is either commercial or recreational, which is a form of commercial. And we have both of those designations in our comprehensive plan and our land use regulations in the current code. And yet somehow they were allowed to be given a conditional use permit for a type of land use that was different than how it was zoned, even though they didn't get the zone changed. And so
it's still zoned what it is, but they're doing something that is
correct.
Not within that zone definition.
Yeah, so I struggle to understand how a board could look at that application and say, yeah, that wasn't a commercial use. That wasn't a recreational use. It was something that was still unique and therefore appropriate for a conditional use. To me, it was clearly one of those other two. If we use even just Webster's Dictionary definitions, which is our default. The county
yes.
code defaults to that if it's not
yes.
already defined in the code. I just don't see how a reasonable review could come to that conclusion.
Is that a done deal now? Are the neighbors appealing or is it over?
I believe that some of the neighbors are taking legal action. I don't know all the details on it, but at this point in time, the conditional use permit was issued. Then there was another hearing because the applicants who had the conditional use permit issued, there were conditions on it, and they asked to have some of those conditions or restrictions removed. And the prior board went ahead and removed a number of those restrictions that were on the original conditional use permit. And so a lot of concessions have been made. There's a lot of concern in the community. And again, I want to be clear. I appreciate and care about when the community is concerned. I'm not going to automatically default to saying that the community's right because they're concerned. We need to go back to facts.
Right.
We need to go back to what does the code say? What is our county law saying? And it can't be wild, wild west where people shoot from the hip and just make decisions on the fly. We need to have findings of fact and a clear review process that points to the law and it says we did or we did not comply with the law. So that's where we need to be consistent. And if our laws are not good, the county commissioners have both a responsibility and the authority to go in and make changes to our county code to modify those laws, to make them better. So that's what I'd like to see us do, is look at these cases as an example, evaluate them. If we find that there's something that's missing or incomplete, incorrect within our county code for land use, we should fix it.
You know what I like about that? Both residents and developers and people who have an idea, they kind of know what the game is, what the plan, you know, what the
yes.
lay of the land is.
And that's responsible growth. If you want to attract quality builders, developers, then the quality companies, and I can tell you from
they
my professional
a stable
career,
environment.
Yes, they don't want to risk lawsuits. They don't want to risk having permit applications denied. They want to come in, know the rules, and say, I can comply with those rules
right.
and be profitable.
They want to be good neighbors. They want to make money.
Yes.
But they don't want to fight with people because
no.
that costs them money.
Absolutely.
Lawyers are expensive. All right, we are up against a break. We're going to take that break right now.
If a buried natural gas pipeline is leaking outside your home, you may see dead vegetation, hear a hissing noise, or smell it. Because Avista adds a rotten egg scent that's easily detectable. If so, get far away and call 911 and Avista. And if you ever smell a natural gas leak indoors, get everyone outside fast. Don't flip light switches, use a cell phone, or do anything to cause a spark. Go somewhere safe, like a neighbor's house, then call 911 and Avista. We just want you to be safe. Carbon monoxide detectors save lives. Because if kerosene, propane, natural gas, or wood isn't burned properly, dangerous carbon monoxide may result, and it can build up indoors without you knowing, as it's invisible and odorless. So protect yourself by installing UHL-approved carbon monoxide detectors. If carbon monoxide is present, the detector will alert everyone to get out of the house, where you can safely call 911 for help. Avista, we just want you to be safe.
When it's time to change your windshield, you might think it's just glass and no big deal. Actually, it's a very big deal. Your windshield will protect you in an accident, and it's critical that it be installed properly to ensure your safety. At Specialty Auto Glass, their technicians are AGSC certified and will do it right. Call Specialty Auto Glass at 263-2600 and schedule your appointment today. They can even come to you with their mobile service. Specialty Auto Glass on Schweitzer Plaza Drive, just off Highway 95 in Ponderay.
Selkirk Press, your hometown printer since 1924. From concept to completion in one location. They offer in-house graphic design, printing, copying, laminating, coil binding, mailing services, even pickup and delivery. That means faster service and convenience for you. Any order, large or small, Selkirk Press will make you look good on paper. Selkirk Press, 1714 Industrial Drive by Sandpoint Airport. Helping you stand out with custom in-house printing and design.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy and founder of Wesley Financial Group. And I want to set the record straight. I am not an attorney. I've never wanted to be an attorney. And the truth is, I really don't even like attorneys. If I sound like an attorney or if I look like an attorney, I apologize. But what I've learned in my 15 years in the timeshare cancellation business is you don't need to be an attorney to get folks out of their timeshare. At Wesley, we've helped over 40,000 families cancel their timeshare without me being an attorney. And I want to share with you how we do it. Just give my office a call, and you will not talk to an attorney. And I guarantee if we take you as a client, we'll get you out of your timeshare, or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-981-4455. 800-981-4455. 800-981-4455.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. Thank you for being with us today, and I've got good news for you. Steve Johnson is here. He's in the studio with us, and he's going to join in on the conversation. Brian Domke, Steve Johnson, they are opposing each other on your ballot this November for Bonner County Commissioner, District 1. Steve Johnson, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Steve Johnson. I'm a longtime resident of Bonner County, raised our family here, Marguerite and I did, and I taught school for 40 years, ran the family farm for these last 40 years. I've done a variety of different jobs, and we have four grown children and nine grandchildren, and
why are you running for Bonner County Commissioner?
Well, I feel like there's a real need for some common sense leadership. No. The disrespect in the past has been pretty extreme to the public and even to the at commissioner meetings with each other, and I think that needs to end. I think that the public is expecting public service. And it's neither productive nor good for the public to be getting fighting and conflict. And there's a lot to be done, a lot of real issues that need to be addressed. And I think I've got the experience and the temperament to help make that happen.
All right, Steve Johnson, thank you for that. Before you got here, Brian was talking about planning and zoning and having controlled growth or smart growth. And so I'm going to turn that conversation now and get your opinion. People are concerned about planning and zoning. It's on everyone's list. What sort of issues do you see and what sort of solutions do you see in the area of planning and zoning?
So I agree that that is one of the most significant issues that we face. Like I say, I grew up here, and the changes have been huge. I think cost of living has increased dramatically just in the last few years, and I think one of the biggest drivers for that is the cost of housing. And I attended a summit, an economic summit, just this past 2 weeks out at the University of Idaho Ag Center, Organic Ag Center, hosted by Brent Baker. And in that, there were some really exciting ideas on collaboration, and one of the most recent ones locally was in Priest River. Kiniksu Land Trust joined with Idaho Housing Authority and with a program called LEAP that was actually developed by a native Sandpoint young man. And they actually broke ground on 6 lots in Priest River that will be available to people to live in the median income level. So made affordable through a combination of groups working together. And I think not only private groups, but I think public agencies can help. And I think together that's where the solution is.
All right, very good. Let's move into another area, fiscal responsibility. I think you both have mentioned that now. And I'll keep it with you, Steve. In the area of fiscal responsibility for the county, just give us one area that you think the county is not, I don't want to use the word, they're not being responsible, but they're not maximizing or being the most effective with the money that they could be. What's your idea?
One of the most recent incidents concerned the Bonner County Fair Board, and evidently the accounting practices were not closely adhered to. And so one of the solutions has been the current treasurer is helping the Fair Board arrive at some really effective and transparent accounting procedures. And so I think there's room for improvement, and I think we're moving in the right direction with the Fair Board. I'm a huge supporter of the fair, and I sure hope that controversy doesn't come back up.
The controversy being that the Fair Board has not been paying some of the expenses that by law they are required to.
Well, that's being looked in also, but in the recent past, there was some money missing. There's been some questions about how it was missing and so on. So I think transparency and really clear accounting practices are necessary to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Same question to you, Brian Domke. Give us an example of how to improve an area of fiscal responsibility for our county.
Actually, I'll start at the foundation, which I believe is our annual budget for the county. Since we just concluded that process a little over a month ago, and we're now living in the fiscal year 2025 budget, as we've observed this morning with having to move dollars from 2024 into 2025 in order to deal with projects and expenditures that bridge those two fiscal years. I believe that it's really important that we look at how the budget is developed. And what I would like to see done for transparency and accountability is as each budget request line item comes in for the board's consideration for that coming year's budget, that with those requests also comes a reference to our Idaho State Code to indicate how that need for that budget item is actually supported by the code, to be sure that we're not spending money on items that are actually not a county obligation and or not authorized by the county to perform. And so I think it's important that we go back to a zero-based budget approach and build our way up and make sure we can justify all of our expenditures.
Boy, I've heard zero-based budget before in my career. I like it. What do you think about zero-based budgeting, Steve Johnson?
I think it's a very reasonable approach, and I would definitely consider that. I also think that there's ongoing needs, and as long as we don't get bogged down in items that don't need to go back to zero every time. If there's hospital maintenance, if there's other items. Other needs in the county, then I think zero-based budgeting needs to be looked at and needs to be considered. And I would avoid, in my opinion, a mandate for zero-based budgeting.
Do you agree or disagree with that, Brian?
I disagree, because any time we don't take a step back and look at what we're saying our needs are and justifying the cost, there's this tendency, this kind of human nature approach to say, well, I'm just going to assume it's required. And assumptions lead to bad decisions. And I know from dealing with large budgets on the professional level that, right, cents add up to dollars, and dollars keep adding up to thousands, to tens of thousands, and more. And so we need to know if every dollar that we're asking the tax dollars to taxpayers to spend is actually warranted and necessary.
I'm going to bring it back to you one final thing on the zero-based budget, Steve, for you to illuminate. My idea, or my understanding, I guess, would be better, is that zero-based budgeting asks you to go back, instead of just rolling forward and saying, well, you know, I got $1 million last year, I'm going to add 3% because of inflation, because gasoline is up, and so you just take that budget and you push it forward. So zero-based budgeting cuts that connection. Explain to us again, why do you think zero-based budgeting should not always be applied to all the budgets?
I think the mandate that we do zero-based budgeting can possibly increase the amount of time that staff spends on redoing items that have been clearly needed in the past and will continue to be needed. I think that's a reasonable use of staff time, not to be redoubling efforts.
Okay. Keeping it with you, another idea on fiscal responsibility. You've talked about budgeting and the FAIR. Give us another, because I think fiscal responsibility is maybe at the top of my list. I think it's at the top of everyone's list. Give us another idea of how you as County Commissioner Steve Johnson would safeguard our money.
So I think transparency is probably the biggest example of if we can be honest and transparent with where the funds are going and be accountable for them, then I think that's the biggest concern that the public has. I went to the commissioners' meeting this morning again, and the idea that. Well, for example, the assessor requested 8 new vehicles and had all the numbers and all the items. And I think whenever it's presented like that, I think there's a brief discussion and a brief explanation, but thorough. And I think that transparency is probably the single biggest factor in the trust of the public.
A quick comment on the importance of transparency, and then we're to a break and getting to other topics.
Absolutely, it is critical. One of the areas in which it's also critical is with clear decision-making, whether it's land use or any other decisions, we have to be able to show that we are complying with the law and that we're using findings of facts. Otherwise, as we've been observing, lawsuits happen thereafter, and then the county's spending dollars paying for attorneys to address lawsuits instead of dealing with infrastructure and our fundamental requirements for meeting our taxpayers.
So you're saying transparency really in all areas.
It is, and it's part of that is we need to make decisions, vote on issues in a way that doesn't compromise the county when it comes to liability. It can't be about personality and opinion. It has to be based on fact.
All right. Well, we're up against another break. We're going to take that fast break right now.
Accidents happen, and when they do, more people reach out to Northwest Auto Body in Sandpoint and Ponderay. Consistently voted best auto body shop in the region, we offer guaranteed repairs by certified technicians using only state-of-the-art equipment. Our locally owned collision repair facilities have been serving North Idaho for nearly 50 years. Find us online or just stop on by. No appointments needed and no charge for an estimate, advice, or even friendly customer service. Remember, in Sandpoint and Ponderay, it's Northwest Auto Body.
Hey, Bulldog fans, this is Toby McLaughlin.
And Lisa Moline.
SHS grads and partners at Sandpoint Law. We are a full-service law firm providing legal services in the areas of civil litigation, real estate, probate, wills and trusts, business formation, contracts, employment, and personal injury.
At Sandpoint Law, we carefully listen to our clients and then look for cost-effective, practical solutions that meet their long-term objectives.
We are your hometown law firm, and we are proud to sponsor Bulldog Football Radio.
Go Bulldogs! Bulldogs.
Nestled within the walls of the charming historic Hope Hotel, you'll find Bee's Beacon.
Check out the stunning sunsets with a delicious dinner and their new fall menu. Every detail is designed to ensure a delightful dining experience. Join them for Monday Night Football starting at 3 p.m., then open Thursday till Saturday from noon till 8 p.m., and Sunday brunch starting at 10 a.m., lunch and dinner till 7. Join them at Bee's Beacon at the historic Hope Hotel.
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text REP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text REP to 42424. That's REP to 42424.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Okay, everyone, welcome back in. We are talking today. What a privilege it is to talk to all of the candidates. You're going to get to meet and hear all the candidates talking one-on-one with their opposing, the person that they're opposing for that seat for all the weeks now leading up to the November election. And today we've got Brian Domke and Steve Johnson. They are on your ballot for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. And just to remind you, you don't have to live in District 1. You have to live in Bonner County, but everybody gets to vote for all commissioners. All right, I'm going to change the agenda to what is your opinion, Brian Domke. I'm going to start with you on Proposition 1, ranked choice voting.
I'm going to very specifically address this from a potential future county commissioner perspective. I'm opposed to it for two reasons as a potential future member of the county commissioner board, and that is, first and foremost, the county commissioners have to actually sign off on the election results, and I would have to be confident in the integrity of the vote. And right now, the idea of taking our paper ballots that are hand counted and sending them, you know, over the internet somewhere to some third party proprietary system that's going to do the counting for us, that's very concerning to me. I want to be sure that if there's a question that comes up, that we can easily audit our election results and be confident in them. And so that, to me, is a clear responsibility that the Board of County Commissioners would have, and I would personally have as a county commissioner if elected. The second part of that is we don't know what the cost of the county would be, but we know there will be a cost because we'd be replacing the current system. We'd have to be training all everyone that provides election day support with what the new system is and how to function and deal with the new equipment. And so that's another unknown. We already have a very difficult budget with the county. As people know, our growth has outpaced our infrastructure financial capability. And so to now add another twist and another line item to the budget unnecessarily is something that I'm also concerned with. So that's a no for me.
All right. Same question, Steve Johnson, ranked choice voting.
I'm a really big supporter of Prop 1, which includes the open primaries.
I know, but I want you to focus on ranked choice voting.
I think Idaho citizens, Bonner County citizens, are as smart as the people in Alaska, as smart as the people in Maine. I think we can figure it out. I think the clerk has a good idea of what the cost is going to be. I think the idea of putting a cost on the freedom to vote is totally wrong. The freedom to vote in any taxpayer election, in my opinion, is a right that should not be denied to roughly 270,000
registered. You're back on open primaries, but ranked choice voting is a very different proposition. That's what I'd please focus on.
I think the idea of ranked choice voting is you arrive at a candidate that receives over 50% of the vote.
It's been proven in elections in Maine and Alaska, who's trying to repeal ranked choice voting, that many times the final candidate is not the one that got the most votes the first time around, because it's counting and recounting through a computer someplace. They count, they recount one, two, three, four. They keep rolling through these votes. So not to disagree exactly with you, but I just don't want people to be misled and to think that open primaries and ranked choice voting, they're the same thing. They're not the same thing.
Well, but this year they are.
They're on the same ballot.
They're
two different changes. They're two different changes to our election.
It's rolled into one proposition, Prop 1.
Sure.
So you either vote for it or you vote against it.
Right.
I think the advantages of the open primary system, allowing everybody the right to vote in a taxpayer-funded election that includes ranked choice voting, is a very valuable thing.
I will state again that
everybody gets to vote in a general election. There are no closed.
But not in the primary. But
well, even in the primary, people can choose which ballot they want to vote on. So nobody's actually denied the right to vote. It's an option.
You have to register to be a Republican to vote in the primary.
You have
the current primary in Idaho.
Yeah.
So actually, going back to the fact, as Mr. Johnson correctly said, that there are two different items that would be changed within the Proposition 1 initiative, that to me is also problematic because it's been very confusing to the public. They don't understand a lot of times that the idea if they're supporting an open primary is not, they don't realize that there's a link to the ranked choice voting. They weren't presented with that information when they were asked to support it oftentimes from my research. And so to me, this idea that we talked about previously about transparency has been lacking on this Proposition 1 issue. And so I will support transparency within our government, and I don't see that happening on Proposition 1.
All right, the next one, and this may be an old one, but you'd be surprised how many people, when I talk to different people from different affiliations, this one comes up, medical freedom, that something really not good happened during this whole COVID mess. When schools were closed, churches were told to be closed, but bars could be open, and masks, and et cetera, et cetera. So medical freedom for people to choose, employers were telling nurses to go. So let me start with you, Brian, your idea on medical freedom and what could you do perhaps as a county commissioner to support that?
So in our post-COVID world, medical freedom is very important to me. And I will tell you this, the Board of County Commissioners have one very specific role when it comes to that, and that is choosing the members of the board for the Panhandle Health District.
All right, very quickly, Steve, we're running out of time. Medical freedom, what do you think?
Medical freedom is an essential right for anything that has to do with your personal health.
All right, excellent. You know what? I'm going to ask you to close now. You can say goodbye to our audience, ask them to vote for you, whatever you want to say, but say goodbye to our audience, Steve Johnson.
Okay. Well, please consider me for County Commissioner for District 1. And as Barbara has said, remember that everybody votes for every commissioner position, regardless of where you live in Bonner County.
All right.
Appreciate your support. Thank you.
I appreciate your racing in to be with us. Thank you, Steve Johnson. All right, Brian Domke, say goodbye.
Thank you again for having me, Barbara. I appreciate everyone listening. Please, voters, be well informed. You're making a decision essentially for who's going to be the board of directors for our county government, which you're the shareholder, you're the taxpayer. I suggest you look and consider who has the most relevant qualifications and who has been the most involved. Brian Domke for Bonner County Commissioner District 1. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. These two gentlemen are running for Bonner County Commissioner District 1, Steve Johnson, Brian Domke. I thank you both of you for being on today, answering my questions. There are many, many people that are listening. Some of them are up in Boundary County. They can't vote for you, but they can still support you. So anyway, thanks for being with us. Next Tuesday, we have another election special with candidates Mark Sauter and Karen Maté opposing each other for state legislature seat 1A. You don't want to miss this. Until next week, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves, each other, slow down, and may God richly bless you, my friends.